Welcome to Up to Date. Steve Kraske is away. I'm Brian Ellison. Well, the voting is done, the results are in, and the Kansas City Council will convene August 1st with a whole lot of new blood. 8 new members in all out of the 12. That's a lot of turnover. So what will be the impact on the city and its governance? Will this group work with Mayor Sly James in the same ways that the last council did? Who will emerge as the leaders and the coalition builders on this new council? We'll try to find some of that out today, but also we just want to get to know a couple of the newbies, so joining us are two of them. Quentin Lucas will be the 3rd District At-Large Council member, who teaches law at KU. Welcome to you, Quentin.
Happy to be here.
And Jolie Justice comes from the 4th District, that includes Westport and the Plaza. She's a former state senator. Jolie, good to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You both were pretty well favored to win your elections, but I have to wonder in the week since the election has passed, any regrets?
No regrets yet. Let's say that. But we were just talking about this out while we were waiting. We have hit the ground running for sure. We have immediately our inboxes were filled, which is exciting with a lot of issues that people in Kansas City want to talk about.
What kind of issues do people want to talk about, Quentin Lucas?
Well, you know, there's an amazing range of issues. It goes from the neighborhood kind of door-to-door issues. They want to talk about trash collection infrastructure in Kansas City to some of the big ticket items that we've been talking about for the last year or two connected to airport, streetcar, and other issues like that.
We'll definitely try to touch on some of those issues today, but I want to start with something that I think is probably of concern to you, and that is the voter turnout in Kansas City. You were among those elected by 10-12% of the population. It was 8% in Clay and Platte counties, 13% in Kansas City south of the river. That's not very good turnout. What do you make of that, Jolie Justice?
Well, I think the election date, and we're going to have to look long and hard at, we went with that as a city because we thought it would increase the voter turnout. And unfortunately, I just don't know that an election at the end of June makes a lot of sense. We had a lot of folks on vacation. It was a brand new election day for a lot of people. And so there was some confusion about when it was, even from folks who have voted for every single election for the last 50 years. And so I think that we're going to have to look at that. And then I think I'd also like to have conversations with everyone from civic to business leaders, neighborhood leaders, on how we can change that moving forward.
Quentin Lucas, one of the things that happens as a result of low voter turnout is that the threshold for citizen petitions to get referendums on the ballot is pretty low.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a real concern coming forward. I think what we've seen over the last few years is that sometimes there's a lack of confidence in what the city council is up to. So I think to avoid having petition initiatives every month or every 2 months, we really need to make sure that in this next council, we're communicating well with voters about the issues that we're working on, what our solutions are, and how they can be part of the conversation.
Would you support changing the election dates? Sounds like Jolie Justice thinks that should at least be considered. Would you agree?
I would support changing the election day, and I'll go even a bit more radical. In Kansas City, I'll try to break news here today, right? If you surpass that 50% threshold in the primary, like some very good candidates like Ms. Justice did, I'm not sure what are the merits of us coming back and kind of doing the whole thing 3 months later. So I think we need to have a real conversation about some of those issues.
So that means visiting the city charter?
Yes, sir.
Let me ask each of you, once you're in place, you're going to take office with a whole bunch of other new folks. There's a lot of issues, as you said. You're already getting full inboxes. What's the one issue that you think is the biggest challenge facing Kansas City and facing this new council? Jolie?
Wow. One issue. It's hard to narrow that down because, as Quentin mentioned, we meet with such a diverse group of people. So when you're talking to folks in the neighborhoods, the number one issue in that neighborhood may have to do with the fact that they've never had sidewalks in a neighborhood for the last 60 years. And then you talk to another part of town and they're facing crime statistics that are just through the roof. And so I think one of the things that we're going to have to do initially is sit down and just triage things and try to figure out as a council what are the most important issues facing the city right now. And I know that you probably think, oh, she's being a politician, she's not answering the question. But the reality is, for me to say what the biggest issue is, I think would just overlook the fact that we have citizens who all think their issue is the most important. And so what I'd like to do, and I understand we may have a retreat, I haven't heard any more information about it yet, but sit down with all the council people and the mayor and figure out what that issue is so we can work on those issues together moving forward.
Okay, I'm going to try one more time.
Sure.
Obviously, there are lots of issues. Maybe one is particularly important, do you think, to the folks in the 4th District? Is there something that, from what you've heard already, you think might turn out to be the big issue?
Well, the two issues that are incredibly important to me and the ones that I talked about a significant amount during the campaign had to do with transportation and had to do with crime. And so to the extent that folks are going to continue to talk about those are the issues that I'll be focused on in addition to everything else. I mean, as far as transportation is concerned, we have a really interesting, diverse group in the 4th District. And when they talk about transportation, they mean active transportation like bicycling and walking. They mean bus transit. They mean streetcar. They mean road and bridges, because my district is really pretty diverse in the fact that all of those things are important. So I think that'll take front and center at the beginning. And then continuing, frankly, one of the other biggest issues, Brian, is the issue of Kansas City's on a roll. How do we keep it moving forward in a sustainable way? So I think those two things seem to be what the people in the 4th District are talking the most about.
Quentin Lucas, how about you? What's the biggest challenge facing the city right now?
Well, you know, there's one thing that Jolie said that I think is a very good focus for our city. Often when we were in debates or when we're on the radio today, people ask us, what's the biggest issue in one district versus the biggest issue in the city writ large? And I found running at large, I saw that basically everyone everywhere was talking about the same things. It was almost amazing. You could be on the far east side of Kansas City. You could be in the Northland. You can live outside the city and have some of the same concerns. And so I think one of those will be transportation. And I think in the next council term, how we can really work on stronger east-west transit routes. We spent a lot of time on north-south routes, Main Street, Truce, Prospect Avenues discussed often. Now, how do we get people from jobs in my part of the city, the east side of Kansas City, off into other parts of Kansas City or even into Kansas as a big issue? One other issue that I think is going to be important and something we should think about going forward is how do we retain population in Kansas City? Not only retain population, but grow it, particularly for those of us south of the river. I live in the 3rd District where we continue to lose a good deal of population every 10 years, and I really want to make sure we turn that around.
Mm-hmm. So east-west transportation solutions, one of those that was proposed but defeated by the voters was the streetcar that would have sent lines east on Independence Avenue and Linwood.
Yes.
Do you support revisiting that proposal, or are there other solutions that you have in mind for east-west transportation?
You know, I would support actually revisiting, I think, our streetcar plan writ large. And what I would want to do to see it become successful in a future vote is to actually see how that could work with a bus system as well. So I think in some ways, a lot of folks, particularly out of the 3rd District in the last election, felt that it was just kind of this small line, not going anywhere, not part of a real transportation answer. If instead we spent time as a city and then also as a region looking at that broader transit solution. So you're looking at 39th Street, you're looking at Linwood, you're going on down the line, 47th Street, Emmanuel Cleaver Boulevard, then I think you actually would have, I think, a bit more support.
We are we have with us now by telephone a third new member of the City Council. We weren't sure whether she'd be able to join us, but she is. Alicia Kennedy, it was elected to represent the 5th District. Alicia, welcome to Up to Date.
Thank you.
So glad you could join us. 5th District is the southeasternmost district in the city, and Alicia works in the prosecuting attorney's office for Jackson County. We've been talking about some of the greatest challenges facing the city right now, Alicia. What do you think is the single biggest challenge that you, as a new member of the City Council, will want to take on?
For the residents of the 5th District, hand-in-hand, the conversation has been around crime and the perception of crime, and stimulating economic development around the major investment with Cerner, and also along the Prospect Corridor, but primarily just bringing some additional commercial retail shopping to the southeast part of Kansas City so that the residents aren't forced to go to the surrounding cities, Raytown, Independence, Lee Summit, or over to the Kansas side to spend their tax dollars.
Alicia, you won a little bit of a squeaker of an election. How has it been in the week since the vote? Have you had any regrets? I asked the other two candidates.
No, I don't have any regrets. My race was very hard fought, but it was worth the fight, and I'm looking forward to serving the residents of the 5th District.
Well, very good. I want to invite our listeners to join the conversation. You're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. I'm Brian Ellison. What do you want to know from these newly elected members of the City Council? What issues do you think they need to hear about? What do you want to hear from them? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. can also email us. We're at uptodate@kcur.org. We'd love to hear from you. I'm curious what the learning curve has been like. All three of you have are brand new to the city council, not new to public service necessarily, but this is a new and different thing. Jolie, what are the things that you feel like you have to learn?
Well, the learning curve is huge. There's no question whatsoever about that. And we were actually discussing a little bit earlier that the city really, the city manager's office, the mayor's office, immediately contacted us with a very intense orientation. And so we're going to be seeing a lot of meeting in the short run with all of the different departments and agencies, getting to know all of the different divisions. I was very fortunate last fall. I was able to take a class called Community Engagement University. I would highly recommend it to anybody in Kansas City because it's an 8-week course through the city manager's office where you really roll up your sleeves and learn about the city. I think that as a new person to the city politics, that's exactly what I'm going to have to do. Just really get to know everybody and spend a significant amount of time just figuring out how the city works.
I mean, Quentin Lucas, is it as simple as needing to figure out where the offices are, where the elevators are?
You know, that's a big step one for us as well. I mean, I agree with Jolie that this last few weeks we've spent a lot of time kind of talking to people in the city staff and in other areas. But I think really the last year of campaigning, there is a positive and negative to campaigning for so long. The positive of it is that you get to talk to a lot of people. You talk to a lot of neighborhood groups. You see a lot of issues that are happening in Kansas City. So while it's new to us, and in some ways knowing the answers to the questions is a challenge, I like that we're all going in at least with a good set of the questions.
Alicia, are there certain questions that you have that you need answers to as you begin this work moving from the prosecutor's office to the city council chambers?
I think in terms of neighborhood issues, looking for more ways to increase the engagement for the residents. One thing I noticed as I was knocking doors in the campaign cycle that the more vulnerable neighborhoods, the residents weren't as engaged in understanding the city processes and how to make things happen. Whereas in the more vibrant neighborhoods or the more affluent areas, they were fully aware and expected direct responses. So I think educating across the board, creating more convenient forms of communication are going to be some of the most important things for me in the 5th District because of the diversity that it has.
And why, to what do you attribute that difference in the level of engagement?
I think twofold. One, I think it's, you know, just understanding the process. And then two, some people, there's a form of apathy that's in some parts of the city that whereas in others. And then when you talk about the more affluent areas, when you are looking at, neighborhoods where you have, housing that's, 350 or above, $500,000 homes, they expect a different level of accountability from their elected officials in City Hall, whereas in some of the more vulnerable neighborhoods in the 5th District where, the average house might be $10,000 or $20,000, and they view blight all around them, they've just kind of given up hope in some way. So that apathy is there. But it's important as a 5th District representative to make sure that there's a consistent level of accountability to all the residents, regardless of the condition of the neighborhoods, and making sure they all understand what their part is and what to expect of the city staff.
And there's another question that's been sort of hovering over the election, and that's what will the new council's relationship with the mayor be like? Mayor Sly James is generally regarded to have had a very positive relationship with the majority of the council. They seem to work smoothly together. This will be a very different group of people. I'd like to ask each of you, how does this, your relationship with the mayor, looking forward, what do you think that will be? Are you anticipating a close working relationship? Are you concerned about any of the direction that the last council took? Quentin Lucas?
In short, no, I'm not concerned with the direction the last council took. I think if you look at Kansas City today as compared to 4 years ago at the end of Mr. Funkhauser's term in office, then we're in a very different and much brighter place. I commend the mayor on what he's done. And I think what we'll have is a professional group. I think everyone that I've talked to has been a kind person, somebody who's willing to work hard, which to me is the most important thing, and then has asked a lot of the right questions. So I think we'll have a very good council and not one that's full of tons of factions and people trying to fight against each other. But instead, I think people who are mature and professional and know to ask questions and work with the mayor to make the city better.
You see something similar, Jolie?
I do. I, as you mentioned earlier, spent my last 8 years down in Jefferson City, which was a little bit different as far as...
a model of civil engagement.
Right, exactly. So I come from a place where there's 197 legislators and a governor, and no one really likes anybody, to be honest. And so the idea of working with 12 other folks is exciting. And frankly, two and a half years ago now, when I decided I wanted to run for this seat, that's one of the main reasons I wanted to do it, because I wanted to work in an environment where we can really get things done. And that's exactly what I think we're going into right now. You know, when I was running for office, I'd have about half the people come up to me and say, "Oh, thank goodness you're running for office. That Sly James needs a friend like you downtown." And then the other half the people would come up and say, "Oh, thank goodness you're running, Jolie. You're the only person who will stand up to that son of a gun, Sly James." And so the reality is, I think we're all going to agree sometimes and we're going to disagree sometimes. And the thing that's great about that is all of us, as we were on the campaign trail, really seem to be engaged, knowledgeable, and doing it for all the right reasons. You have a lot of folks who really want to move Kansas City forward, keep it moving forward, and I cannot wait to get to work with these with this new gang.
A couple of reports or columns this week have noted that in Jefferson City, you had a reputation as something of a coalition builder. Even though you were in the extreme minority as a Democrat in the state Senate, you managed to put together legislation together with Republicans. Do you see those skills being useful in the much smaller and I guess less partisan city council?
Absolutely. I mean, the partisan part is aside, which actually makes it a little bit harder. When you're in Jefferson City, people don't like you because you're a Democrat or a Republican. Here, if they don't like you, they just don't like you. So that personal piece is a little bit tougher to tackle. But, you know, that was one of the things that I found in Jefferson City. If we all just stood around yelling at each other, then nothing was going to get done. And so one of the things that I want to work on immediately is making sure that we all at least have a baseline of where we are, what's important to us, so that we can kind of hit the ground running. And I think that that's something that I'd love to be a part of.
Alicia Kennedy, you are new to this particular kind of work. Do you see, but you have been around the city government, do you see the relationship with the mayor during your term on the council being different than the previous council enjoyed?
I think it will be different. My experience working with the mayor has been around the Kansas City No Violence Alliance, KCNOVA, which was a collaborative of you know, the county, the city, and different levels of other law enforcement agencies. And I found the mayor's office to be very engaging, very open to new strategic alliances and approaches to dealing with issues. And I'm expecting that same type of willingness and open-mindedness as we address issues as it pertains to the 5th District. And the city as a whole, and I think I concur with both Jolie and Quentin in the sense that I think we'll have a pretty collegial environment in the sense that, you know, we have, what, 7 lawyers in this council. So there's a certain level of professionalism that we're going to bring to the table.
That's Alicia Kennedy. She was elected last week to represent the 5th District on the Kansas City, Missouri City Council. Jolie Justice is also with us. She was elected to represent the 4th District. And Quentin Lucas, he'll be the 3rd District at-large council member. You can talk with them yourself if you have questions or want to share your thoughts about issues facing the city. Call us at 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. You can also email us at UpToDate at KCUR. You know, Alicia mentioned that she's a lawyer. In fact, all three of you are lawyers. There will be quite a few lawyers on the city council, but that doesn't mean you've all had the same path to City Hall. A moment to kind of talk about your journey to this place and where you got the bug to say city government is where I want to devote my time and energy and, in fact, my career. Jolie, you were a successful state senator. You served out your term limits. Why make this move to the much smaller scale of city government?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I am a lawyer by profession, and frankly, the reason I got into politics in the first place is I'm the pro bono director for my law firm at Sheccardi & Bacon, and I primarily represent kids and families in the foster care system. And I saw a lot of things that I thought I could tackle. And so I went down to Jefferson City to tackle those things and was able to get a lot done. When I was deciding what I wanted to do next, did I just want to go back to the practice of law? Did I want to continue this on? I actually decided that the only thing interesting in politics right now is going on in the big city level. There is complete gridlock in Washington, D.C. There is a complete gridlock in Topeka and Jefferson City. And if you really want to affect change, which is why I got into this in the first place, you needed to do it on the local level. And so that's why I made that decision. And I could not be happier that I've made it, because the issues that were important to my clients 8 years ago are the same issues that are important to my constituents here. And so I really am able to blend my passion for public service as a lawyer with my passion as public service as an elected official.
And Alicia, prosecutor, work an assistant prosecutor, that can be a place where a person spends a nice long career. Why would you make the move to elected office?
You know, it was based on my experiences and my observations. I have a very unique perspective. Grew up in the, you know, in the inner city. And then, you know, even my path to becoming a prosecutor was very unique, in the sense that normal people from my background don't become prosecutors, maybe defense attorneys, but that's not typically how it goes. But I found myself as an advocate for victims, because most oftentimes people in the urban core, you know, find themselves a victim of some sort or engaged in the criminal justice system. Well, part of my role as a prosecutor in our office, I was over the community justice or neighborhood prosecution, where my role was to work proactively with neighborhood groups to reduce violent crime. So instead of waiting for a crime to occur, we worked with the neighborhood leaders to find out what were the underlying issues and how we could be proactive in trying to address those things to lower the crime rate, improve the quality of life for the residents. Well, more often than not, those issues ended up being matters that landed on the doorstep of City Hall. And so there were things that oftentimes were perceived as, you know, nuances, not major priorities, but as a result, we were breeding this element of crime in our community. And so as I spent time trying to put together the pieces to try to be effective in that role, most of that responsibility was at City Hall, and there was not one person that was a go-to person that was willing to put it all together and give the focus and attention that it should have. And so I realized that the perspective I had was one that was unique, and having the understanding of what the underlying issues were and what focus areas need to be brought to that, there was an opportunity for me to really make an impact in these neighborhoods on the city council. And so that's where it really started from. And I spent about 6 months meeting with people to find out that was really the best path to take, considering, you know, the right. You know, gained quite a bit of trial experience in the prosecutor's office, and, you know, right. Oftentimes it's kind of a path to the bench sometimes as well. But I realized that I cannot continue to turn a blind eye to the issues in the neighborhood, knowing that, you know, I had some insights to how we could improve things in a more meaningful way.
And Quentin, you also are walking away from a different position to come in this direction. You're on the tenure track at
yes,
KU
sir.
Law School, but you're stepping away from that. And I think a lot of people would sort of look at this and say, to be a city council member, what scratch their head? It's not the most lucrative job you could choose. Why in the world would you do that?
Well, you know, I think very simply, I care about my community and this city, kind of like Alicia just mentioned. I grew up in the inner city of Kansas City, and my life has been in many ways a gilded one full of great opportunities along the way. And I've continued to live in Kansas City while teaching out in Lawrence. And as I saw the problems in our community relating to violence, relating to a lot of other issues in the neighborhoods, basic infrastructure ideas and others, I thought, well, you know, this is a time that I think I can try to help out and help out my community.
Let's talk about some of the specific issues that you mentioned. You've mentioned transportation. We talked a little bit about that. The airport is another transportation issue that's going to be on the council's agenda going forward. Let me ask any of you to respond. What needs to happen next with regard to Kansas City International Airport?
Well, it's going to have to be upgraded at a minimum. I mean, there's no question about that. The reality is that if I suspect we'll all be out there soon taking a look at it, but my understanding is that we've got a crumbling airport that needs to be fixed. Where we're going to go, whether it's one terminal or three, I don't have any idea, but I think what I heard on the campaign trail is everybody wants a modern, safe, efficient, convenient airport, and I think that we're going to have to figure out what that looks like moving forward. I will say that when it comes to transportation, whether it be by by air or by land, we need to go to a regional approach. I have been very frustrated that we talk about transportation just in Kansas City, Missouri. This is a regional airport, and we need to go start moving in that direction, in my opinion.
Anything different about that, Quentin or Alicia? Are you waiting and seeing to see what you can find out?
You know, what I would add to that is I think as we discuss the airport going forward, we need to make sure that citizens feel like they are part of the conversation. I did hear some criticisms from the last kind of set of public hearings that folks thought that there was already a long list of issues and things and items that they didn't really get to be part of our conversation. So what I'd like us to do is really try to make the case to the city of what's wrong with the airport, what is the infrastructure that's declining there, and then really have that inform people as to why we need to make a big difference and change.
Let's take a call from Jan. She's in North Kansas City. Jan, welcome to Up to Date.
Hi there. Kansas City North.
Okay.
I'm near 210 and 435 Highway in the north land, about a mile back from the river.
In the city limits, then. So go. What are your questions for your new council members?
I realize that the crime issues and economic development are all part of the problem with the older part down below the river. My main thing is, how in the world are we ever going to get rid of so much really dilapidated derelict housing and redevelop, blighted, really truly blighted, not just kind of maybe a little run down, but really blighted areas that have not yet been tackled. And I realize there's been parts and bits and blocks and areas that, you know, that look pretty darn good and some. And this includes also addressing the lower income needs for, you know, good, for decent rental housing that they can afford, which is a real, real big problem.
It's a good question, Jan.
There's so much blighted areas down there. How can we possibly incentivize developers to quit coming out north and sprawling more and more and more and redevelop our inner city areas that truly need it and have for like 50 years?
Jan, that's a fair question, and I saw a lot of nodding heads here in the studio. Quentin Lucas, you're from the 3rd District. You represent one of those areas that has some of that kind of economic development problem that Jan's talking about.
Well, first of all, Jan, I want to say God bless you, and I hope you come to every city council hearing when we're talking about new giant development proposals and instead want us to focus on our aging infrastructure in Kansas City.
Yes.
I'll go with a general answer for you and then a more specific one. The first general answer, and this comes from my own childhood experience, too. I lived off of 52nd and Bell Fountain in the inner city when I was a boy, and it was always interesting because when somebody moved out of our neighborhoods on the east side of town, right, the house often stayed dilapidated, it often got abandoned, and then it became a problem, the problem that we're seeing right now. The first issue is how can we make sure that we're incentivizing folks to stay in our neighborhoods in Kansas City? That's not just homeowners, but that's also small businesses. I would like to see us target our incentive plans to areas that are actually indeed blighted, right, and looking at entire parts of the city in some way. That'd be Prospect Corridor in my district is one example. I think there are other corridors really in all parts of the city. I think that's a big step one. Step two, Kansas City has a land bank program, right, where the city actually is part of, in some way, the real estate agent in making sure that folks can buy homes. A big step to that, I think, that we need to do with the next council is make sure we're giving adequate funding so that there are sufficient attorneys, there's sufficient staff to make sure that we're actually working effectively in those efforts. I think those two combined, or at least starts, to addressing this dilapidated housing and infrastructure issue.
And Alicia, you represent the 5th District, also has some of the kinds of problems that Jan was talking about in her call. What's your game plan there?
You know, my first step is to work with the city department. We have a lot of abandoned houses in our inventory in the 5th District and get an idea of the track of where they are. We have to focus on the comprehensive economic development plan for the 5th District because you have such a variety of issues. And so the approach that we've taken in the past has been kind of a shotgun approach, a scattered rehab of certain properties. But it doesn't help when you rehab one house and you still got, you know, half a dozen that are, you know, abandoned and blighted on the same block. So we have to look at it from a much broader perspective. And so we're going to start with certain neighborhoods, you know, a block development plan, and rehab houses, tear down those that are not reconcilable, and then also do a better job at creating mechanisms for folks to be able to buy houses in these neighborhoods. It's good to have good housing, rental housing inventory, but home ownership creates an investment in that neighborhood that renting does not. And so for creating programs in place that we have the ability where we can move people from that, you know, from that position of renting to ownership. So there's several layers to it, but I think, again, it starts with that comprehensive plan of where we're going to target. And I think that you and I did a really good job of that, of targeting that area, their area, and then have began to focus intentionally on investing in that. Some of that touches in the 5th District and the Blue Hills neighborhood area, but we need to do more of that in the heart of the city, Blue Hills, Telford Creek, and then some of the Blue Ridge neighborhood areas as well, where there are more stable houses.
Alicia, thank you so much. That's Alicia Kennedy. She represents the 5th District. Jolie Justice, she will represent it once the new council convenes August 1st. Jolie Justice will represent the 4th District, and Quentin Lucas is at-large councilman for the 3rd District. Thank you all for being part of Up to Date today.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here.